It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, youth may be the age group most at risk of becoming homeless. And that is from the federal government. Says youth run away or experience homelessness for a variety of reasons. As part of our discussions about housing insecurity in Wisconsin, we examine the effects on young people. Call in with a question. Share thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jolie Gunther is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Jolie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
Oh, good morning. I think we just dropped her there. Christine, we'll try to get her back. Christine Nadelsky is State Coordinator for the Education for Homeless Children and Youth Program, the program administered by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Christine, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Last year, more than 16,400 homeless students attended Wisconsin schools, and that's from your agency, the State Department of Public Instruction. How does your education program identify homeless students?
Yeah, so there is a federal education law, the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, that requires all school districts to have someone designated as their homeless liaison. And so I work with all school districts across the state and work with the homeless liaisons in school districts to understand the nuances of the law, work on strategies to identify students. But ultimately, it's that person in every school district who is identifying students and ensuring that they receive services that they may need.
So this federal law, McKinney-Vento, really gives these children the legal protections to be able to go to school. How has it affected the lives of vulnerable youth in Wisconsin?
It's really, really key for educational stability for students experiencing homelessness. One of the really key factors of the federal law is students have the right to remain in their school of origin. And what that means is the school that they're enrolled in and attending. And then if they lose housing and they end up in a different school district, or maybe in a large city across town in a different school area, they still have rights to keep going to that school they were enrolled in. And the educational stability is so key for them, while everything else in their lives is in chaos when they don't know where they're going to be spending the night, when they don't know if they're going to have to move somewhere else the next day, if they're going to have to be in their car. And so keeping at least their education stable and keeping them in the school where they were attending, where they have friends, where they have connections with their teachers is really, really important to keep them have a sense of stability and really keep them on track educationally.
Jolie, let's turn to you. The Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services supports school-aged kids. What's typically causing youth homelessness?
So, anything that is causing vulnerability for families is something that is going to impact all members of the family. And I think that's one of the first things to look at. If we look at where families might be out at with their own mental health situations, with the economic stressors, certainly conflict can contribute to that. But I think that we also need to look at the risks that are impacting everyone and know that those are likely to impact youth even more when they're within the home.
Do youth fall in and out of homelessness? Is there like a cycle to break here? What do you see?
Again, the vulnerabilities can be there, and certainly we might have brief episodes of homelessness where a young person leaves for a short period of time and returns to home. One of the services that our agency provides is shelter services, and those really are directed at addressing short-term crises. So in Wisconsin, we can provide shelter services for up to 21 days voluntarily for the young person while we work with their family. And our objective is to have them return to their home and to provide ongoing support that helps the family to avoid homelessness or running away in the future.
Christine, department figures show thousands of Wisconsin students are experiencing doubled up homelessness each year. What does this living situation mean?
We have about 75% of our youth identified as homeless in our schools in that doubled up category of homelessness. And really what that means is sharing the housing of others. And the law specifies that it's due to loss of housing, economic hardship, or a similar reason. And typically, families or a youth on their own might be fleeing an unsafe situation. And it looks like families living together, maybe a family living with grandparents, or a student, a youth on their own who is living with an aunt or uncle. And it's sharing the housing, but they have, you know, they may have a roof over their head, but most often these situations are not stable. They might be sharing an apartment with someone who all of them could get kicked out on a moment's notice because they have too many people in the apartment. It could be a place that where children are sleeping on the floor because there's not enough rooms, there's not enough beds. So this is the most common living situation of our youth experiencing homelessness in our schools. And it really is kind of that hidden homelessness that we don't think about. A lot of times people just think homelessness as an individual on the street or maybe folks living in their car. But really these doubled up situations are very unstable for folks, for youth, for families. And they might be in an unsafe situation in some of those cases too.
We're talking about homelessness among young people in Wisconsin. Christine Nadelsky there leads the state's Education for Homeless Children and Youth program. Jolie Gunther oversees the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. You can join the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jolie, you work with state lawmakers to ensure runaway and homeless youth have access to supportive services in Wisconsin. Are recently passed laws improving access?
So I wouldn't say that we've necessarily passed laws that have improved access. I would say that we are working on legislation that will help improve not only access, but also the services and address some of the gaps that are there in existing services. One piece of legislation that was introduced recently is from Representative Emps, allowing for minors to access health care. This is something that came to our attention as we worked across the state on a youth homelessness demonstration project from HUD with the Wisconsin Balance of State. And as a part of that project, we had youth action boards throughout the 69 counties in Wisconsin that are included within that project. And those action boards repeatedly gave us examples of times when they were homeless and unable to access very, very basic medical care. And so we're talking about not being able to go to a free clinic and receive treatment for an infection that they had while they were on the street, a respiratory infection, something like that, or to receive services for mental health as they return into their lives, but maybe their parents still are not available and these young people are not within the custody of protective services. And so they're just falling into this gap of needing to wait until their 18th birthday to receive very, very basic medical care. And we know that that can't wait. And so that's one piece of legislation that we do have currently. Within Wisconsin, we do have designated funding from the Department of Children and Families that does complement federal funding under the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act to provide services throughout Wisconsin. They are there in each region of the state, and those services include counseling, shelter, information referral, access to aftercare following the return of the young person home. The problem is that we don't have sufficient funding to ensure that there are adequate services and that they are fully distributed geographically throughout the state. And so there are definitely areas in the state where the services are not available, and communities and law enforcement and families need to piece that together in able to address the need.
Are those rural areas where you're seeing the lesser amount of wraparound services?
So, yes, there's definitely an underrepresentation, I would say, in the Northeast and in the Southwest. And, yes, certainly in rural areas. And one of the problems is that those geographic districts can still be quite large. And so, you know, Christine talked about young people remaining in their school of origin. When they need to leave to receive shelter that isn't there in their community, that's disruptive to education as well.
Jolie Gunther leads the nonprofit coalition Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Christine Nadelsky coordinates the Education for Homeless Children and Youth program in the State Department of Public Instruction. Be part of this discussion. Call in with a question. You can add your views, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Millions of young people experience homelessness each year across America, and that's from the research group Chapin Hall at University of Chicago. We examine how to address youth homelessness here in Wisconsin as part of ongoing conversations about housing insecurity. You can join in, call in with a question, share your views, 800-642-1234. Jolie Gunther is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, and Christine Nadelsky is here, State Department of Public Instruction, coordinating the Education for Homeless Children and Youth program. Christine, I want to return to homeless liaisons for a moment. What are their challenges, and how could their work be more effective with youth who have housing insecurity or are vulnerable to becoming homeless?
I think the biggest challenge we're hearing across the state, urban, suburban, rural, is that the needs of youth and families are so great. And the families that they're working with that are experiencing homelessness, there's a lack of services in certain communities. There's lack of affordable housing across the state. And in the role of the homeless liaison in a school district, there's not a lot that person has control over in those factors. So really, the homeless liaisons are doing a lot of case management. And the homeless liaisons are not, that is not someone necessarily that's hired just for that role within the school district. So it's required that every district identify a staff person as the homeless liaison, but more often than not, it's also someone who's a director within the school district, who does lots of other things, runs lots of other programs, and doing intensive case management with families is not always possible, but that's what's needed. So really trying to focus our school district homeless liaisons on ensuring the educational success of students. And that's a really big challenge when basic needs aren't being met for students. They're trying to figure out where they're going to sleep the next night. They need to get some snacks because they're hungry. They need clothes to be able to come to school the next day that are clean. Those are the needs that students are facing. And so the education piece, where we really want to focus on in schools, we have to meet all those basic needs first. Mm-hmm. And so really getting communities to be able to have services for families, I think that's just the biggest challenge of our homeless liaisons right now is really trying to meet those needs of students while also trying to get their educational needs met.
Jolie, what is the risk of sexual violence? This year, Wisconsin started a statewide anti-human trafficking task force. What do you hope that accomplishes?
Yeah, what we do know is that, I mean, Christine talked about situations of being doubled up. And to be honest, the situations that she talked about were even somewhat ideal within those circumstances. So this is a situation where a family has identified a place that is still safe, but certainly inadequate for the family's needs. In situations where there are not the resources to let the young person stay with the family, or if the young person leaves for other reasons, that results in them needing to seek out shelter. And while they might quickly exhaust resources that are safe places to stay, we know that there are those who watch and offer, and that youth often end up in places that are not safe for them. Nationally, 20% of youth who have run away or been homeless report being trafficked. And so that's one in five of an already very pervasive situation that we don't recognize because it's often invisible. When a young person is going from place to place and not on the street, as this population tends to be, we don't see them. But we do know that, according to the Chapin Hall data that you cited, 1 in 30 young people under the age of 18 experience homelessness within a given year. And that is across both urban and rural communities, but it looks different. And it's more spread out within rural communities. And so we often don't notice it and know that providing services is very, very expensive and hard to do. The Task Force for Human Trafficking, I'm very much hoping. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. What are you, very quickly here, what are you hoping for the task force?
Yeah, so one of the pieces that we have been working on is to provide legislation that is called Safe Harbor, which is youth who have, who are under the age of 18 who have been trafficked cannot be charged with prostitution.
We'll be watching that. I want to thank you both for joining us. Jolie Gunther there leads the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Christine Nadelsky, coordinator of the Education for Homeless Children and Youth Program at the State Department of Public Instruction. Now, as part of our ongoing coverage of housing insecurity, we learn about a Milwaukee organization dedicated to helping homeless LGBTQ plus youth. Courage MKE is set to open its second location early next year. As Wisconsin Public Radio's Trevor Hook reports, the expansion follows months of setbacks and unexpected costs.
Come on in. So this front door here will be locked when young adults are living here. We'll have staff right here at this desk.
Jean Northway is program director for Courage MKE. The nonprofit operates a licensed group home for displaced LGBTQ plus youth in Milwaukee. She's walking through the nonprofit's planned second location on National Avenue called the C2 Apartments. The location is under construction and will serve LGBTQ plus adults from 18 to 24 years old who age out of the foster care system. Painter's tape lines the edges of walls through the house. Paper covers the steps to the rooms upstairs. Courage MKE finished its first home in 2019. The Courage House can house up to 5 LGBTQ plus children from 12 to 17 years old. Courage MKE co-founder Brad Schlykowski founded the nonprofit when he and his husband Nick were foster parents for teenage girls.
All of them came in with the same stories of torment or rejection or bullying because of who they are or who they love. From shelters, from group homes, from their families, from foster families. So we wanted to create a safe space for queer youth.
LGBTQ plus youth face higher risks of discrimination within the foster system. Researchers at the University of Maryland School of Social Work found they report more cases of poor treatment from foster homes and adverse experiences in group homes than other kids. National estimates indicate around 20% of children 12 and up in out-of-home care identify as LGBTQ+. Schlykowski says it's important to build a sense of community for the teens in their care.
So you have this wall of trauma, and then you also have this wall of their identity or their orientation in front of that. So now we have two walls that we have to get through. So if we give them a safe space to be their whole self, we remove that first wall and we can help them start to chip away that trauma wall and teach them how to manage that going forward.
Courage MKE has a team of crisis stabilizers on staff. They're on call to respond if children at the Courage House are having a behavioral health crisis. Schlykowski says it's important to have their own stabilizers.
The county provides some for group homes and foster parents, but if you call them, they could come in 30 minutes, they could come in 2 hours, and then the crisis is already done past, right? Or they say, call the police. And that is just not something we're willing to do. Because the police are probably the one of the people that took these kids out of their home in the first place.
Courage MKE has faced setbacks in finishing its second location. The new building was broken into earlier this year. Required zoning changes to the property led to costly and time-consuming renovations. But Schlykowski says the organization plans to open the new apartments in February.
This train for this building has left the station already, and I can't pull it back. So we are going to find the money come hell or high water.
Program Director Jean Northway says one of the biggest issues the organization faces is funding.
We have contracts with county governments and with the state, and so they will pay for the nights that residents sleep there. But the nightly rate is not enough to pay for everything that our youth really need. And then our next program here, C2, for 18 to 24-year-olds, there's even less government funding.
Courage MKE held its annual gala on November 3rd at Mitchell Park Domes. The organization raised almost $124,000 in one night. Schlaikowski says he's grateful for the community support.
We had 600 people at our gala on Friday, and that these are 600 people that showed up to show these kids that, yes, you were dealt some cards of your life that none of us really wanted, but babies, we have so many people here that are willing to take care of you too.
For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Trevor Hook.
And ahead, we continue the conversation about homelessness with a focus on housing programs for veterans. And you can be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The federal government estimates hundreds of veterans experience homelessness in Wisconsin. We explore programs in our state that work toward creating stable housing for veterans. And you can be part of the discussion, ask a question, share thoughts, call 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Chris McElgan is Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me this morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
You oversee homeless programs provided by the State Department of Veterans Affairs. How does your agency connect with veterans?
Well, really, it's a collaborative effort. And, you know, we work with partners all across the state from the local and regional and county level. We do have some of our own internal programs that we run. We have our Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. And this is really one of the most important things we do in providing services is working together with our partners. Our Veterans Housing Recovery Program provides temporary housing, training, and supportive services to military veterans who are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless in order to help them obtain permanent housing. And that's the goal, really, to work through the program so that they can obtain that permanent housing.
And in that temporary time, how is the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program, connecting veterans with what they need in the services that will be able to give them that stable life, that stable housing?
Well, you know, that's a great question because the VHRP is designed to help homeless veterans to receive job training, education, counseling, and rehabilitative services that they need to obtain steady employment, their own supported affordable housing, and the skills to sustain a productive lifestyle. You know, what we've found in working with veterans and is that very frequently veterans deal with more than one issue. If they are having an issue with homelessness, then it's probably because they're having employment issues. And that may be because they have substance abuse issues or mental health issues. So it really is obtaining those wraparound services so that they can build and successfully complete the program. And again, to reach that goal of being self-sustaining.
Chris, how stringent are program rules for clean and sober living through this program? I mean, what happens to veterans who make a mistake?
Well, yeah, we do have rules for the program, but yeah, we are very understanding that, you know, these folks that come to us, they've had issues, and we work with them as much as we can so that they can stay a part of the program. We want to be as supportive and understanding as possible. You know, ultimately, you know, there are times when individuals are dismissed from the program, but we really do everything we can to be inclusive and to work with them so that they have a safe place to grow and then become productive parts of the community.
How long are Wisconsin veterans typically waiting for permanent housing once they enter the program? What is the waiting period like?
Well, so a key to success for the VHRP, and I'll say VHRP so I don't have to keep saying Veterans Housing Recovery Program for you every time, a key to the program is the ability to support residents for an average length of stay for 248 days, which enables veterans in the program to stabilize and receive the critical treatment and support. And this allows them to address those critical root causes of homelessness and develop a plan to achieve and attain sustainable independent housing. Most of the time, we are able to take veterans into our VHRP program as quickly as possible. And if not, we refer them out to our regional and local partners.
Chris, where are the gaps? Where do gaps exist for the supportive services for homeless veterans living in Wisconsin?
You know, I think a big part of it sometimes is just veterans knowing what resources are available to them. A lot of times when I talk to veterans about homelessness or any other benefit program that are supported by either the state or the local or regional veterans advocates, they're just not aware of those benefits. And a big thing, I think, is just communication to get folks the understanding that there are benefits out there. And those are benefits that you've already earned and that you should be accessing.
Where is the communication breakdown? Why don't veterans know about the wealth of resources that are available to them?
Well, I can tell you from interacting with the veterans community that in general, it's a very prideful community. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is convincing veterans that they should seek out these resources. And once they do, I think that there's a lot of communication and outreach. We do a ton of outreach. There are a lot of great veterans advocates out there that are doing outreach, but it's kind of convincing those veterans that, hey, you know, veterans can be a very prideful group. They don't want to necessarily take handouts, but you have to convince them that, hey, this isn't a handout. This is a benefit that you have already earned by the service to your country.
We're talking about housing insecurity among Wisconsin veterans. Chris McGelgan is a top official at the State Department of Veterans Affairs, oversees housing programs. You can join the conversation, call in with a question, share what's on your mind at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Chris, in terms of rental assistance, the state offering a veterans rental assistance program created in response to veterans' households losing income during the COVID pandemic. Do veterans feel this program offers enough rental support? What has been learned?
Well, I think it's an excellent investment from the state, from the Evers administration to support veterans on lower fixed incomes as housing costs have, you know, as we all know, risen dramatically. I think that this does a great job at bridging the gap and assisting veterans. You know, housing is very tough right now for everyone, and it's an issue for people trying to buy, and this trickles down to the rental market and for people trying to rent, and this affects people at all income levels. So any support that we can offer is just a way of helping to try and bridge that gap.
How is the rental assistance program working? What benefits do veterans receive through the program?
So I can't talk too specifically, but that program specifically is run by the Department of Administration as opposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I don't have any great details about it, but I know that they are having success, and I think they're looking to build upon it moving forward to increase that funding because we can never do enough for our veterans.
You talk about the strain on housing and rental properties, and the Milwaukee Business Journal is reporting this month on construction plans to build 40 tiny houses in Milwaukee starting in the spring. Milwaukee Tool partnering with a Missouri nonprofit for the more than $11 million project. Are tiny homes a long-term solution for helping veterans?
Yeah, you know, so we have a great public affairs team at WDVA that puts together info for us every day on what's going on in the veterans community. Shout out to James Listig and our public affairs team. And I came across this article really recently, and I think housing projects that provide a warm and comfortable place to live while also providing a community space is just an excellent idea for our veterans. From what I understand, these tiny home projects provide a great use of space and allows a degree of privacy that sometimes shared residents may lack. So I think it's a great initiative.
Do you find that veterans living in rural areas are more at risk since services might be further away from them?
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, and I really do agree with that. You know, there are individual factors that are common among homeless veterans, such as substance abuse disorders, lack of stable income or employment, history of incarceration, lack of social support, adverse childhood events. And the further you get out into rural areas, the harder it is to access resources. And frankly, the scarcer those resources are.
We're talking with Chris McGelkin, Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, as we check in on housing and supportive services for veterans at risk of becoming homeless. You can call in with a question. You can share what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ending homelessness is a top national priority for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The VA estimating the number of veterans in need of housing has been cut in half since 2010. We examine the trajectory here in Wisconsin and hear from you. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Chris McGelgun is Deputy Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Let's bring in Karen in Madison. Karen, hi. What is your question?
More of a comment. I think what I heard is that to go along with the program, you hope to find something that will stabilize the veterans. And I have a veteran in the family. He's doing well, thank God. But you mentioned 240 days that you would like to have to go along with the rest of the program. Am I right in thinking that?
Is it 240 or so days, Chris, that the program is working there, that temporary housing program?
Well, first of all, thanks for the question. And if I mischaracterize this in any way, I apologize. The average length of stay right now for our VHR, a veteran with our VHRP is 248 days. Now, that's not a program requirement, but what I was trying to emphasize by saying that is that we're trying to take a long-term approach because the key first, and I think as you mentioned, is to provide that stability. And sometimes that takes a while. It takes a while to work through mental health resource programs. It takes a while to find a sustainable employment situation and then to provide transportation that can lead that veteran to employment and other resources. So it is that length of stay, that's an average. That's not a requirement.
Karen, what comes up for you in that?
Well, I'm a landlord, so I'm going to put that out there right now. I have a situation, as do many of the smaller people, mom and pops, where we rent and we have to use a lease. And to do a month-to-month when you don't have very many units is very hard. So a lease is 12 months. When you're looking, what you're talking about, as long as it's the average, I get it now, but in order for us to sustain having rental property, we have to be able to depend on income to keep the place up and to cover damages and that sort of thing. And Dane County is not known for supporting smaller landlords. The tenant is always right. That means we lose money. And the bigger guys have lots of money, can hold things up in court, and they don't rent to this kind of situation.
Karen, thank you for the call. Property owners here have difficulties, Chris, in ensuring the consistency and the stability of the person who is renting their unit.
Understood. And to be clear, the VHRP is a program that includes housing for veterans. So they stay on site. We have programs in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. And again, the key is getting those veterans to stabilize so that when they do transition to private housing, such as rentals, that they're ready to sign a lease. They're ready to stay there. They're ready to settle down. And a lot of times the veterans will work with HUD Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing. So sometimes they get rental subsidies to help that so that they have a steady income and a way to pay for housing so that they're not transitioning more than they need to. So hopefully that helps with renters, such as the individual that called, so that when they're getting the veterans into their property, they're ready to become long-term residents, not month-to-month residents.
Veterans accounting for 3.9% of unemployed people in Wisconsin. That's 2022 estimates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. How are you working with veterans to find work and life-sustaining wages?
Sure. So a few things. Collaboration is the key. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs has great programs, and we work with veterans through our Veterans Benefits Resource Center to recommend them for all sorts of resources. But in a statewide, from a statewide perspective, we also have our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program. So our VHRP provides with our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program to assist in their outreach efforts, as well as assisting veterans to enter and discharge from the VHRP. Statewide, the VHRP has coordinators in 16 different regions to assist with the main factors of homelessness, which are mental health services, substance abuse, financial assistance, and also employment. So the VORP connects veterans to community services and provides case management and support with a special focus on treatment and recovery so that we can get veterans out to employers. We know from talking with employers that they seek out veterans because they have skills that they're looking for. They're mission focused and they're ready to come and do the work day to day. So if we can get our veterans into a place where they're ready to enter the workforce and they have that stability, then we can help bridge that gap for them.
Let's bring in Deanna in Helenville now. Deanna, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, my husband is a veteran. He's a Vietnam veteran. And there is down in Jefferson County a center that you can go to for help, but he's gone there plenty of times. He's not... he doesn't abuse alcohol or anything like that. And he's not homeless. But just to go there and get their advocates for your health care, every time he has gone there, they never do anything. So that is a frustrating office. My husband waited 2 years to have a cataract removed. And just the appointments and the callback for appointments, you're in a queue at the VA center forever, and then he eventually just gives up, and he'll say, well, I'll try calling tomorrow. It can be very frustrating for them to get appointments. I can't even imagine what someone goes through if they are, abusing alcohol or drugs to get these appointments for these people that need help.
Deanna, thank you for sharing that situation. Chris, what can you share?
Well, I know working with the VA sometimes can be frustrating. And when I first started working As a veterans advocate, it was helping veterans with appealing their disability benefit designations. And that process was so onerous that you needed the advice of legal experts just to navigate it. So I sympathize with sometimes working with the VA because it can be kind of a long process, but I would encourage anybody to stick with it. And if they're finding it too onerous, to reach out to partners. I think County Veteran Services offices are excellent partners and resources. They can assist veterans with, if they have a particular health need, there are certain programs and the local and regional level that focus, say, on dental care for veterans. So it's possible in that area there might be something very specific for the veteran and their particular need. If not, I would always encourage veterans to call 1-800-WISVETS. So that's 1-800-947-8387, or visit MyWISVETS for questions about Wisconsin programs, benefits, and services for veterans and their dependents. And we'll connect. We'll do our very best to connect veterans with resources.
Chris McGelgan with us, official at the State Department of Veterans Affairs. Chris, I visited a Madison emergency homeless shelter for men, spoke with John, who identified as an African-American veteran of the Vietnam War. And John told me that their VA disability benefits were wrongfully terminated years ago. Here's part of our conversation.
I'm a veteran, honorable discharge. I serve this country, and it's a shame. But it's not just me, you know. There's a lot of African-American veterans who are systematically being kicked off the system, taking back their money from them, and they ended up homeless people. It's a bad situation, and I think people need to pay more attention to that.
What comes up for you? What are your thoughts about John's comments?
Well, I agree with John. People do need to pay more attention to these issues. And again, sometimes the system can be very onerous, and it requires people to be very consistent with how they enter the system and how they document and how they follow up. And for folks that are homeless, if they miss appointments or they don't have the right forms or they're not going through the policies and procedures in the set way that the VA designates, there are situations where they can be kicked off their benefits or they're not accessing healthcare in the proper way. I would continue to emphasize reaching out to your local partner, VA Veteran Service Organizations, to your county Veteran Service Organizations. Collaboration is key. If you don't get what you're looking for from one organization, there are a lot more out there. And again, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is always there to help. Either if we can't provide the resources that the veterans are looking for, then we're going to refer them to the right place. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop until we make sure that that veteran has the resources available to them.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
Chris McGelgan is Deputy Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, and we're producing a range of conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity. You can find links to our recent segments and this ongoing coverage at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.